Welcome to the Real Estate Trainer Podcast with your host, Brian Eisenhower. This podcast is brought to you by Eisenhower Coaching and Consulting. ICC provides customized and structured coaching and training programs for real estate agents and team leaders, representing many of the top producing agents in North America. ICC also offers broker and owner consulting on agents recruiting, training, and retention. For more info, visit EisenhowerCoaching.com. Or find us on Facebook.
It is that time of year where we start talking business plans. And don't freak out. I don't want to lose you guys here because I am going to show you some new things about business planning today. Okay. And there's lots of different ways to compile business plans and lots of different ways that work. And I'm going to show you a way that most of you have seen for the purposes of showing you a way that many of you have not seen. So I kind of want to show you both of those very quickly and I want to have a discussion about it as well too. So what I'm going to start with first of all is to show you guys an oldie but a goodie, a real fan favorite here. And I love this format. We call this a 1-3-5 format. And that's because we have one big goal up here at the top. And in this case, we have a solo agent that's has a goal to close 45 transactions in this example. That's her one big goal. And then she's got three key focus areas underneath that big goal: to establish an online presence, to lead generate for new business daily, and to organize her center of influence in her CRM database and systematically grow and contact it. Okay. That's her three focus areas. And then she's got five objectives under each of those three focus areas, which means 15 very focused action items that we can get done over the course of a year. But it is the time of the year, guys, where we really want to be thinking about getting a business plan, whether you're a solo agent or on a team. I know a lot of people are, heck, my wife's team's meeting as we speak right now, putting theirs together for next year. And they're building this all out as a group. This is traditionally the week after Thanksgiving is business planning week, right? So now would be the time to start preparing for next year and crafting out one of these to give yourself an idea of where you want to go. Now, one thing I want to talk to you a little bit about is that annual goal at the top and how you pick it. One of the things in real estate, it's really easy to pick one. And I'm going to show it to you again here. This agent has closing 45 transactions as their annual goal. Okay. If you want to look, here is a sample team business plan. It's a little bit more complex and they have a different type of goal. They have 50 million in annual sales volume. Okay. So the other one has number of houses sold. This one has total sales volume. Both are okay. You could even have a goal of gross commission income earned. Understand that is a little less marketable as a goal. And when I say marketable, you know, your agents, you market to the general public that are not agents. They may not want to hear a lot about your commission income if you want to make your goal a public one. But if you're not going to make your goal a real big public one, I wouldn't worry about it so much. You could totally have a commission income goal. I mean, it's possible to have a net income goal, as long as we include our expenses in it, okay? So let me show you guys something from one of our courses about why those are all okay by way of goals. There's a formula here that we always wanna use in goal setting, and we wanna always have a SMART goal, okay? Which means they need to be specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound, okay? And that, you know, that's your acronym for the word SMART. It means specific, you know, we always want to be able to tell if we're ahead or behind it at any given time throughout the year. So that's why we pick numbers typically. Numbers, it's really nice for real estate because we can pick things like units closed, sales volume, GCI. We can know, and then we divide it by 12, and at any month, we can tell where we should be with regards to whether we're ahead or behind our number for the year. Like if you want to sell 50 houses, and it's July 1st, and you've only sold 10, we know you're a little bit behind your goal. You should have sold 25 by then. We know that because the goal is specific. The fact that it's measurable is what makes it has to be a number. We have to be able to quantify it. We have to be able to see if we're ahead or behind. Okay, specific nails it down. It's black and white. We win or we lose. We know we either got the numbers or we don't. Measurable means we can tell if we're ahead or behind throughout the year. Achievable, this is really important. And I'm gonna stop on this one because this is one where I disagree with what I consider to be some, there's a general theory out there in goal setting that needs to be taken with a grain of salt. And here is the goal setting goal. It's like, I'm going to set a real big goal way up here so that even if I fall shy of it, I'm still happy. Okay? That's okay. I don't disagree with that so long as we serve it with a grain of salt. Because I cannot tell you how often I see people set too high of a goal by using that particular rationale and then they hate their goal within 2 months of the following year because it's a constant reminder of how bad they're doing because they're so far behind it because they picked way too unrealistic a role. Does that make sense? It makes the goal not only irrelevant, it makes it depressing, which means you're not going to look at your business plan because it's so depressing, which means your business plan doesn't get utilized at all. So picking a goal that's too high can be tremendously detrimental to your career. There is harm that can happen from falling too far below it. Now, I get it. I like a goal that stretches you, and I like it that even if you don't hit it, you're going to be happy with the results. But if you're too far below it, you actually risk quite a bit of financial and professional detriment there. So be very careful and understand if you are a very social person, which means you have a high I behavioral profile on the DISC assessment, you are likely to pick too high of goals. You're just way too freaking optimistic for the rest of us. So understand, I have noticed over time, they're the ones that say, hey, if it's going to be, then it's up to me. And they just pick the pie in the sky goal, or we can do it. Yes, we can. We can do it. Or nobody can, or whatever. And they pick this super high goal, and the whole business plan and the whole goal is irrelevant. So let's don't do that. I would rather, I've got a few clients that actually, I call them goal wimps. They just barely pick like 5 and 10% increases every year so that every August they shatter the goal about 4 months early before the end of the year. And they celebrate it and they just think they're so awesome every year. So there's something to be said by picking a goal that still pushes your production up next year, but is easy to win too, because it feels good to win. I'm here to tell you. So don't get stuck on, hey, I got to pick a huge high goal and I'm supposed to be happy when I fall short. I'm yet to find anybody that's happy when they fall short. I've never seen anyone fall happy when, you know, it's almost like, well, we did better, but we didn't really hit our goal. Like there's just this negative, you know, touch of gray on the edge of your silver lining. Anybody get that?
I struggled with that for a while, actually. It's almost like two different religions of goal setting. The you know, huge, you know, big hairy goal perspective, and then the one that where you just try to like really nail it and say, like, I did 100 transactions last year, I'm gonna try to do 120, and that's cool. And the problem is that's very boring. But if you're not trying to actually hit a goal, what's the point in the first place, right?
Oh yeah. I totally agree. I mean, and if you get way ahead of your goal, we can always adjust up. You know what I'm saying? You can change your goal up, but changing your goal down, that's a negative. You know what I mean? So if you have to get you or your team or together and say, you know what, I'm not going to hit this goal. I need to adjust it down. That actually doesn't feel that good. Adjusting a goal up because you're clobbering it too bad, that feels great. Yeah.
Dave Friedman.
Hey, Dave.
A good chunk of my business is doing flips. I do about 4 of them a year. Yeah, as well as, and it also feeds into my commission business. So I've got the commission part of the business and the flip part of the business. How should I be flexible and have, you know, one set of goals that's, you know, says 400,000 or 500,000 of income, or do I keep them segregated out with the goals?
At the top, you know, what I would say is the most common there is to say, I'm going to have $300,000 in gross commission income and flip 4 properties this year. You know what I mean? And you could have 2 goals at the top. They're both measurable. I wouldn't have any more than 2 at the top though. I think there's a rule somewhere. I can't remember what. Oh, wait, the 4 disciplines of execution said you could only have 2. That's right. That's right. Stephen Covey. That's kind of, I don't want to go against that guy. I'll go outside the bandwidths a little bit, but not Stephen Covey. So, you know, so I think it's okay to have a couple up there because they're both measurable. And then down below, one of your focus areas could be the flips. You know what I'm saying? And then you'd have 5 objectives underneath the flips, assuming I would think that's probably all you would need to cover by way of what you're going to do differently next year with regards to your flip business. Would probably add, and then you would, you know, and you could have a 1-4-5, just so you guys know, or even a 1-3-6. You know, we just start with kind of a general structure there. But if your business is one where you've got to do some aggressive changes and additions next year, sometimes it's worth getting out to a 1-4-5 and giving yourself some extra space with which to grow.
Great. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. No problem at all. No problem at all. Okay. So let me just get back to this really quickly so I can finish out. So it's got to be achievable right here. And I think I hit that one pretty hard. It's got to be relevant, which is pretty dang easy. Like it's got to be relevant to the goals. Again, if you pick gross commission income, sales volume, that's going to be relevant to you because those are all direct correlatives to, you know, how much money you earn. So it's not like, if you pick a goal that's non-numeric in real estate, like I want to improve the culture of my real estate office. Albeit that might be an honorable pursuit, I don't know that would be too relevant to your true goals in your business. I don't know how much money that's going to really have coming in for your real estate sales business if you just made your goal to be like the office fairy princess or something. So, but I have seen similar strange things done before. Time bound. And in real estate, our goals are almost always a year. So that makes it really easy. We got to give ourselves a deadline by which to complete all of this stuff. And in real estate, it's usually an annual goal that we have each year. I mean, there are 3 and 5 year business plans out there, but most people stick to a 1 year plan in real estate and see where they are at the end of the year and do another one since they're kind of quick. Okay. So that's why I pick and those are pretty well settled in real estate. And let me take you back over to this team business plan. It's a little bit larger. In that team business plan, or any business plan for that matter, I have found this is where you want to start here. These 3 focus areas. Okay. And generally speaking, I almost always make all of my clients have one of the focus areas, although this example doesn't quite show that, be sphere of influence, SOI. That's how important, I mean, that's the referral-based business that if I look at all of you guys on this call, probably on average, 90% of your business comes from people you know and people that have been referred to you by people you know. So because of that, I always put SOI first. Trying to go, because we want to hit that harder. You always want to go with what works harder rather than just keep racing around looking for the lower dollar activities. The cheap magic pills, if you will. So I always like to see SOI in here. I often like to see lead generation in here because that would be any other lead generation from people we don't know, like open houses, like online leads, like circle prospecting. That's what we're out there trying to generate business from people we don't know. So seeing SOI and lead generation together is pretty darn common out there. You might see another column for systems, like different systems we need to set up. Usually agents have tons of systems that they haven't set up. Tons of smart plans. Look at Candace. Happy. Database contact plans. Listing to contract checklists. All of those things typically could go over here. You might be in a position where you need to grow. We need to hire. We need to recruit. You might want more training. We might want more life balance. We might really want to create an ultimate customer service experience to help our referral business. It may be technology. That might be a weak part where we got to, you know, put a lot more emphasis into our social media presences, the content we're writing, our website, our blogging, whatever that may be, our video presence. Those are typical, you know, tech and social media, that might be another focus area. Those are all examples of good focus areas. Then it's pretty easy to just jot down below and start adding to this group. And remember, this group down here, this is 15, if we just stick to a 1-3-5. This is 15 objectives down here that we have all year to get done. So realize some of these things we're not going to get to until like November. Does this make sense? Some of these things we're gonna need to get to right away. So one of the first things we'll do after this is done is we will actually put together an action steps plan that prioritizes these things. So I'd like to show you, because there are a lot of other tools out there that we can take from a 1-3-5 and put and actually implement our business plan. Because so often you see people put these business plans together, and what ends up happening, I'm going to stop sharing for 1 second. What ends up happening is it just sits on a shelf somewhere and we don't look at it because we know there's so much work on it. And if we look at it, we'll feel obligated to do that work, and that'll be depressing for us. That makes sense. So what I would like to see us do is actually have an implementation plan to actually get this done. And a lot of you may have been familiar with an old tool out there called a 411 that I have seen kind of making a comeback lately, which is a great tool. I have used one myself to success. I want to show you another version of that if you don't care for that tool. This one can work as well. And this is called an action steps form. Okay. And this actually is meant to go with your 1-3-5 plan. Okay. So let me back up and, I got to show this. I got to share my screen, don't I? Like bad Zoom etiquette. Okay. This is your action steps form. Okay. So let me go back and show you that team business plan again. You can see that focus area number one is customer service, create the ultimate client experience. Okay. And then we come down here. Here is that focus area, customer service. And then you can see I've got 5 objectives underneath that focus area. Everybody following me? Now imagine I go to an action steps form, and this is a single page for all 5 of those steps underneath the focus area of customer service, create the ultimate client experience. So we're actually going to create 3 of these action steps forms, 1 for each of these 3 focus areas on our 1-3-5 plan. Okay. So stay with me here. You can see under item number 1, they said on their team, they're going to start, their administrative assistant is going to conduct 30, 90, and 120 day follow-up telephone calls to their past clients after all closings to suggest vendors for the improvements they're doing and ask for referrals. Great idea, right? Don't you all wish you had that kind of customer service? You won't. Unless you put a business plan together, because you'll just say it's something you need to keep getting done. Or you won't, because you won't let Candace show you how to use smart plans and auto program those. So you have a device that tells you when to do that, huh, Candace? So with that said, if you do think you might want to do that, take a look at that. And then we're going to go over to our action steps form, and we actually break it down into baby steps. It says, this is number 1. Find and create admin follow-up phone scripts. We got to tell the admin assistant what to say. Add 30, 60, and 90-day calls to closing checklists or maybe the CRM. Calendar and conduct weekly role play and scripts practice. Create call accountability tracking sheet to make sure that these calls are getting made. And then systematize lead follow-up and conversion in the CRM for the sales agents to seamlessly get notified and make these calls. See how we took that one step and moved it down into bite-sized baby steps. And we actually take a who and by when over here. Brian's gonna get this done by January 15th. Jamie then will get step 2 done by the 30th. So we can actually be meeting with about this in a team meeting with our team, making sure each person is getting their parts done. If you are a part of a team, that's an added step that this can be used for, that little column out to the right. But you don't need a team to do everything else. Does that make sense? So all of a sudden, you're going to chunk these down, and these are much more manageable steps now. But when we go right back to this, getting all this done, like I told you before, the likelihood that any of you are going to get all that done and see it through is very, very slim. But if we start breaking it down and put dates next to it, now we've got it prioritized, and it'll chunk out and get done. So what a lot of top teams will do is they'll create this annual business plan, and then they'll have a second meeting, and this is the hard meeting, trust me, where they create three action steps forms for each of these focus areas with commitments as to when and who are going to get these items done. So by when and who's going to do it. And now you're looking throughout the year, we're getting rough dates on this. So we're starting to prioritize our business plan so we know which items we need to get done and want to get done first, if that's helpful.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Real Estate Trainer Podcast, sponsored by Eisenhower Coaching and Consulting. For more information about real estate coaching or to watch Brian's training videos, check out therealestatetrainer.com or find us on social media. And remember, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you get the latest episodes as soon as they're available.